Okay, moving on to, and your mic sounds weird, Sam. Attorney Mike Papantonio, one of our favorites. Mike, are you with us?
Yeah, I am, Janine. How are you?
I'm very well, and your show, Ring of Fire, will be debuting this Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. with Robert F. Kennedy, Jr.
Right, thanks for the plug.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
What a great interview you just had with that professor. I mean, if people heard that, it was just great stuff.
Yoshi Shirumi.
Oh, man, that was good stuff.
All very obvious to me.
Yeah.
Like, everything he said makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It all fits together, doesn't it?
And people who like George Bush probably exhibit a lot of those same tendencies as well.
Yep.
So why don't you just get going, Mike? You got a lot to tell us.
Well, you know, you wanted me to cover the Cheney issue today, and really one of the most important questions that the 9/11 Family Steering Committee had for this commission, one question that they wanted answered was whether or not the U.S. government was involved in any negotiation with the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda in regard to any issues prior to the 9/11. And one reason they wanted that question answered, I mean, a lot of people wanted to know the answer to that. One reason is, though, they wanted to know if Cheney's Energy Commission, his political contributors, the Halliburtons, the Unicalls, all these people that have given huge money to Cheney and Bush, they wanted to find out if they were in a face-to-face negotiation with the Taliban over an oil pipeline that was supposed to span Afghanistan out of Central Asia. It was one of the most, well, it's a huge, huge oil source there in Central Asia. And so they wanted to find out whether maybe one reason that Bush and Cheney weren't doing what they were supposed to do, to be doing with the Al-Qaeda, was because this negotiation was real important to their political contributors. Unfortunately, the commissioner, it's never been answered, never been asked by the commission. The media's just completely ignored it. Have y'all followed this issue at all?
Yeah, we have. There's actually a number of websites and little chapters and books talking about negotiations with Taliban and also negotiations through Pennzoil with Al-Qaeda.
Right, but the thing they're not doing, Janine, is they're not tying it up to the Energy Commission. Because, this issue with Cheney and Scalia becomes real important, because what you'll find is while this negotiation was going on, while his cronies, his corporate cronies, were negotiating with the Al-Qaeda, negotiating with the Taliban, trying to get a deal put together, a consortium put together, to take this pipeline across to Afghanistan, that's the very time that Cheney's Energy Commission was meeting. And who was heading it up? Enron.
And Lay,
exactly. And what, you know, it makes sense now when you consider that Ashcroft said, hey, don't tell me anymore about terrorism. Because this administration was in a stand-down position. They had abandoned this, not because of tactical reasons, but because of money reasons. Because all the people that were joined at the hip with Cheney and Bush, the Enrons of this world, they wanted this thing to take place. As a matter of fact, Enron had already put $10 million into finding out whether this Caspian Basin was a place that they could bring the oil from. Spent $10 million on a feasibility study. Not only that, they started buying up land all around, just useless land. I mean, it was, you know, just land that can be used for anything except a pipeline. So they started buying up land. And all of this was happening during the time that this Energy Commission was meeting. So people talk about these two stories, but the two stories fit together, and unfortunately, the mainstream media hasn't caught on to it. Now, there are some people who have caught on to it in Europe. There's a great book. It's called Bin Laden, The Forbidden Truth. These authors are fantastic. They're two Frenchmen. I talked to one in Paris today. He's very, very well respected. I mean, as a matter of fact, this guy's so well respected that what they did is the government actually hired him to trace the money trail for terrorism all over the world. His name is Charles Brizard. I'm going to have an interview with him in about a week, and we're going to talk about what he found. Unfortunately, the U.S. media completely ignored this book. Well, it's back, and I'll tell you, I just can't recommend it. It's called Bin Laden, The Forbidden Truth. Here's what they talk about. They say that 5 weeks before 9/11 ever took place, that this face-to-face negotiating was taking place. They say what happened was Enron lost its nerve. Enron went to Cheney and Cheney's people and said, put pressure on these folks to make this happen. They'd spent $10 million on this deal already. It was an 18, I said, did I say, I said million, didn't I? I mean,
yeah.
This is an $18 billion project. I mean, $18 billion project. They had a lot of money at stake. And so they said, we got to put some pressure on these people. And so, I don't know if you've heard the term, we can leave you with a golden carpet or a carpet of bombs.
Right, we did. We got that off the internet.
Yeah, and so they say these are the two options. Well, after they give these people the options, September 11th takes place. They back them into a corner, not for any strategic reasons, but to pay back these corporate cronies. Let me tell you something. This Enron alone has paid $10.7 million to GOP campaigns, federal and state, and they were asking for paybacks. Cheney and his oil ambassadors, his energy cronies, they knew about the USS Cole. They knew why that happened. They knew Al Qaeda was involved there. They knew Al Qaeda was involved in the Cabal Towers. They knew that Al Qaeda was involved in the attempted bombing at LAX airport. Bush, while this was going, already had in his hand the August 7th memo, the Bin Laden memo. While that was happening, while all those things were happening, we had these companies that had bought and paid for this presidency, had bought and paid for Cheney. These companies were involved in American negotiation, diplomatic policy with Al-Qaeda, Taliban, and trying to pull all of this together to put these oil fields in play.
Now, how does this figure in? Doesn't James Baker of Baker and Botts have something to do with this, and some people from the Carlyle Group,
and
they were meeting with Khalid bin Mahfouz?
Yes. Well, you know, you've talked about, I know you've talked about the Carlyle Group before on this show, but James Baker's their guy. He's their counsel. And so he was one of the front people involved in this, although really the people that are discussed in Bin Laden, the Forbidden Truth, the way he ties that up is really more by stating that it was the oil companies, it was the energy people who had most at stake, and they were the front people for all of this. But you see, the 9/11 families, they knew to ask this question early on. Was there any negotiation? Now, I promise you, that question was not asked today. And it hasn't been asked the whole hearings because this commission, as Sam has said time and time on this program, this commission was designed to fail. John O'Neill, I know you know this story, John O'Neill, who was a former FBI deputy director, resigned his position because he said that Dick Cheney and the corporate oil fat cats were more involved and more interested in trying to put a pipeline across Afghanistan than they were interested in protecting American lives. And you know the story with John O'Neill. He was actually killed in the towers.
And then Paul Bremer himself
said
that these guys were not interested.
Yes. Layla Helms, you probably may know that name. She's a PR type. She's the niece of former CIA head Helms. She was actually hired to be the PR spokesman for the Taliban while all this was going on. I mean, they were way, way down the road on this. Enron thought they were going to hit a home run on this deal. And unfortunately, whatever negotiation took place, according to the theory of these two very, very talented authors, they think it resulted in 9/11.
Well, we have to take a break here, Mike. We are going to be back with attorney Mike Papantonio, who will have his own show, Ring of Fire, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., debuting this Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Also, after Mike, we will be talking to Ben Cohen of TrueMajority.org. And some of you have to leave to listen to Alan Cohn.
Oh, sorry about that. In the meantime, what you should do is check out our blog at MajorityReportRadio.com for our third hour post. We'll have a link to the book that Mike is referring to on Amazon. Read this thing, because this may be the reason why Cheney is fighting so hard to keep what went on in these energy task force meetings. Alan Combs. Poor Alan Combs.
For
Alan Combs listeners. All right, we'll be right back on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
And we are back on the Majority Report here on Air America Radio. We're talking to attorney Mike Papantonio, who will be having his own show debuting this weekend called Ring of Fire with Bobby Kennedy Jr. Mike,
Yep.
Just keep talking.
Okay. Well, you know, Sam, both of y'all gelled the issue real. The issue is this. The issue is the American media is not seeing how these two stories fit together. Why is the Scalia story important? It's important because Cheney has everything to lose if his duck hunting buddy gives him up. And the way he's going to lose is it's going to be very, very clear. It's going to be very clear that the Enrons, the Unocals, all of these fat cats were more concerned with this Caspian oil basin. And so the problem that he has to solve and the problem that he has to overcome is he has to make sure that before the election, there's nothing that comes out about that energy commission. That's where the story is. But the media doesn't get it. These two stories...
Well, why doesn't Kerry's campaign get it? Why can't Kerry...
I'll tell you, Janine, because the guy, he'll make a wonderful president, a fabulous president, but he's a terrible candidate. He won't go after him like he needs. He has so much to work with. This issue alone. And you know what? They're afraid. I mean, you got people right now that are on that website. You know, they're trolls, Republican-type trolls that hate to hear this story. I don't know what they're saying right now, but they're probably trolling right now. They hate this story. They know the story's right on the edge. But let me tell you something. I'm going to bring Broussard over to the United States. I'm going to put him on our show. Hopefully, you'll put him on your show, and the media won't be able to ignore this.
He is coming on our show.
There's
no doubt about it.
Of all people to be picking this up was Paula Zahn. Now, she did the typical 30-second soundbite nutty job of it, but she at least talked about it. She didn't tie up the connection between this negotiation on these oil fields and the Energy Commission.
I got to say, Mike, I think you're really definitely on something because there was a op-ed piece by Krugman in the Times.
Really?
And Times was and Krugman was talking about he couldn't understand why Cheney was so obsessed with making sure that they did not have an opportunity to release what they talked about, who they met with, everything that went on with the Energy Commission, and the only way that this information is not going to be released is because Scalia went duck hunting with Cheney, and they're trying to just keep the information from him.
They're joined at the hip. Do I have time to read one quick quote?
Oh, yeah.
This is a great quote. This tells the story. In 1998, Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton. Here's what he said and he was talking about this Caspian oil field. He said, "I can't think of a time when we've had a region emerge as suddenly become so strategically significant as the Caspian. It's almost as if the opportunities have arisen overnight. The good Lord didn't see fit to put us in an oil and gas only where we could get to it easily." He goes on to talk about the fact we have to go after this fuel. Now, this is 1998. So you know he was talking about it when he became vice president with his commission. And the documents are going to be everywhere. They're going to be just the same type of statements that will go where the oil is. And in 1998, this Cheney, was out talking about this. Look, the media is handling this like Beavis and Butthead go to the principal's office. That's how they handled today. They didn't talk about the issues. The media talked about it like, it's just, they made fun of it. Beavis and Butthead go to the principal's office. Let me tell you, Beavis and Butthead, if they would follow this money trail, Beavis and Butthead would be in deep, deep water right now. But you know what? This commission, just like Sam, just like Janine, just like y'all have always said, they're designed to fail. They don't care. And that's why they didn't ask these questions. But I'll tell you something. We get Charles Broussard over here in the United States, we'll make the media pay attention to it.
We'll make them eat freedom fries.
Yep, you got it.
I actually have a quote here from the U.S. Government Energy Information Fact Sheet on Afghanistan from December 2000. Afghanistan's significance from an energy standpoint stems from its geographic position as a potential transit route for oil and natural gas exports from Central Asia to the Arabian Sea. This potential includes proposed multi-billion-dollar oil and gas export pipelines through Afghanistan, although these plans have now been thrown into serious question. And not, however, for long, it seems, thanks to September 11th and bombing the Taliban, right?
Right.
Which was ordered by Bush Cheney.
Exactly. So, Janine, that issue, Clinton actually had plans in place. When Bush took over, he had plans to launch against al-Qaeda. You know who took the plans off the table? George Bush. He took them off the table because his buddy was negotiating on this issue. He was negotiating with the Taliban. They couldn't cause a problem over there. They couldn't go bomb because they were trying to make an oil deal that was worth billions of dollars to his corporate crony friends.
And wasn't there a payment by the Bush administration to the Taliban in July of 2001 of about $40 million that was ostensibly about controlling the poppy growing?
Sam, I don't know that issue. I'm not familiar with that issue.
All right. Well, Mike, take a look at that, because I know that there was a payment there, and it just seems like quite a coincidence that they're paying off the Taliban at that point $40 million while the Taliban is going around destroying religious.
Or it could be statues. Just a raise in defense spending of some kind, and the way they appropriated the $700.
Who knows how much. Now, Mike, let me ask you this. I want to just get into the specifics, because right now the Supreme Court, particularly the five on that Supreme Court, are pretending to adjudicate this question about Cheney's Energy Task Force and whether or not we should have information on that.
Can I tell you something? This Supreme Court is going to give us nothing. They're not going to give us a thing. That's why Scalia has been fighting for his life to protect his duck hunting buddy Cheney, because he knows it could go against Cheney. He will not recuse himself because he knows this is an important issue. And I'll tell you something. I wouldn't be surprised if in those duck hunting conversations that this issue came up. Of course he's not going to recuse himself. This is a critical point. And, Jeanine, you know you asked the right question. Why in the world isn't Kerry talking about this? This is not spook stuff. These people are very credible people. They wrote the book in French. I know that's a problem for the American media, but they made a translation in English. All they have to do is pick up the book and read it. And I'm telling you something. This issue will continue developing if we develop it. Otherwise, the mainstream media will make it disappear. But listen, the people that are blogging right now, the people that are blogging your program, if they will take this issue, explore it, and talk about it on the Internet, it will take some legs. And I'll tell you something, rest assured, these are credible people. This is a credible story, and it hasn't been touched. But today's little deal in front of the commission, they didn't explore it at all.
Now, people can go to counterpunch.org. And there's information on this, we'll put that link on our site. We've got the link to the book on our site. This is something that if you're listening and you go online, you got to spread this around, because this is a story that we need to push so that people start dealing with it.
Yeah, how do we make the media do it? That's the question, isn't it? How do we make the media?
Drudge has to cover it.
Oh, yeah.
That is the only way to get the mainstream media to cover it. Drudge has to get a hold of it.
Well, maybe what we should do is put in a lie about them bouncing a check to the Taliban, and maybe Drudge will cover it.
Yeah.
Mike, let me ask you this now. Do you remember some months, couple years back, that during the rolling blackouts in California,
right.
there had been some meetings between Ken Lay and other energy people at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, I believe, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was there?
Yes.
I don't think anybody knows that Arnold Schwarzenegger was on those energy meetings.
Well, you know, he was peripherally involved. You know, the thing about Schwarzenegger doesn't really fit into this neocon thing. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of them that do. But this group really is driven more by big money, Jeanine. I mean, they're...
No, but isn't he a way to deliver California? Because California goes Democrat, and they figure, we got to get the anti-intellectuals to go for somebody.
Yeah, well, he's their best hope. I still don't see him developing California to that point. But
when we get California online, when we have our stations lined up in California, which will be very soon, we're going to talk about how Schwarzenegger was promoted by Ken Lay, was encouraged by Ken Lay, and then by the entire energy industry there, because one of his first acts when he came into office was to make sure that the state dropped a suit against those thieves who stole money from California through energy collusion. We'll talk about that when...
But he must be involved in some way. I'm not talking from the angle you're talking about, Mike. I'm talking from the glitz angle of how do we create a distraction of some kind in California?
Yeah. Jeanine, I don't know. I haven't looked at that issue. I'm familiar with what you're talking about, but I just haven't really, most of these, when I come on your show, we have a couple of real good investigators. I try to check out what I've got here. This story, though, this is a real story. I got to tell you something. You know, Bush quote today, "I was never advised by my counsel not to say anything. I answered all the questions they asked." I mean, did you hear that? After he came out of the meeting, he's bragging he answered all the questions he was asked. His defense counsel didn't have to tell him not to answer anything. Well, that's because this commission does nothing but ask softballs. They put no pressure on them. They have no design whatsoever to get to issues like this.
But also, we wouldn't know if that was true or not.
Well, of course.
How would we know if he answered all the questions?
Not recorded. There's no way for us to track anything. The reason is because if Cheney raised his right hand and talked about this, you can bet he was committing perjury when his lips were moving. And so
you would think they wouldn't mind that, though. Why is it they wouldn't just for show go under oath? Because they lie every day.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem they have lying in this situation is they're coming at it from two different reasons. If you were cross-examining this guy, let's say that you had just arrested him for something. Well, what do? You put Cheney in one room, you put the witnesses in the other, and you tell them the same story, you wait for the same story, and then you get the differing stories. This commission has done nothing like that. I mean, it's just basic investigation they have avoided. They don't want to get to the truth.
And yeah, I mean, they're just pushing it around like a cat with a ball of string. I mean, they're not interested in finding out. If they were, they wouldn't have. I mean, of course, there was a reason why Bush went in there with Cheney. The administration didn't even give a reason. There wasn't even a reason, ostensibly to save the commission time.
Yeah, you know what Karen Hughes said, Sam? Karen Hughes said when she was asked about this question, she basically tried to make fun of it. She says, you know, I just couldn't think of a lie. I couldn't think of a lie on to give the American public about why they're doing this.
She is good, man. She is an unbelievable sociopathic pro.
She's as good as Karl Rove.
She's as good as
Lee Atwater. She's as good as Segretti. And she has this Southern Texas thing that people believe this woman. You know, you use the term sociopath. I think that's pretty accurate. But to say to the American public, two things. She said two things. First of all, it wasn't an efficient use of their time. Well, let me tell you what an efficient use of their time is. An efficient use of their time is to meet with these families that are now, they're widows, they're children that don't have parents anymore. You realize in their efficient use of time, Janine, Cheney and Bush have not even sat down with this family steering commission. People don't know that. They don't know. They have no
idea about them.
No, they could care less. It's all a political show. It's like that professor that you had on before me that talked about this, about Bush having some real, you know, some head problems. How do you not talk to these people and talk about how important this is? So efficient use of time, I don't buy that. And I sure
Karen Hughes on The Daily Show was unreal. She is better than Atwater, and she's better than Rove because she's more likable than they are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she has that Southern Texas thing going on. Women, unfortunately, I saw some feedback. Women love this woman because they just don't see through her. They don't see how scary she is. She's just one of the guys.
Well, Tucker Carlson said that she was such a liar that it bordered on mental illness.
Because she knew she was lying to him. He said he'd never been lied to so smoothly by somebody who knew they were lying to him.
Yeah. Who knew that she was lying to him and knew that he knew that she was lying.
Yeah, that's what he said. He knew that she knew.
Oh, that's scary stuff. You know, this thing about efficient use of time, you realize she says that about a president that's made 36 trips to his vacation resort in Bumpkin, Texas.
Right. 8 months of his presidency has been in Crawford. But she clearly has no scruples, no shame. There's something wrong with her, just as there is something wrong with that cult of Bush. And also tonight we were telling people to watch The Jesus Factor on PBS.org to discuss Bush's unhealthy relationship to God.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great show tonight.
Thank you so much. We're going to help give this story legs. And please, people, tune into Ring of Fire. Mike Papantonio, Robert Kennedy Jr. debuts this Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m.
Thanks
10 to 11 a.m. You're listening to the Majority Report on Air America Radio.